Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's feature, World of Ink Network. Today, your host is Virginia Grenier and Marcia Cook. And just really quickly, we're going to go over some of the shows that we have coming up here on the World of Ink. I know it's a little weird because we usually have music that plays. Seems like we're still having problems with the sound bites here at World of Ink. So we're just going to jump into our
technology.
Upcoming shows.
This is advancement. We're advanced now.
We are advanced. We're so advanced we can't get our music to play.
5 years ago, we could at least have music. Now we can't even do that. Okay, I know. All right, well, anyway, we'll just have the show anyway. We'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, I have two shows this week that are going to be really good. Tomorrow I have a lot of guests on, but it should be really good. Gina Kincaid is coming on with some of her Naughty Nights people, maybe 10 then. And they're just going to come on for a little bit, and they're all going to talk about their new Shifter book, and it's going to be really a lot of fun. And hopefully Bethany Cruft will be with us, which would be a surprise and a treat, so that would be good. But it's going to be a lot of fun because they're all going to talk about it, and Gina's the co-host. So that's tomorrow. You have one Wednesday?
Yeah, I have one Wednesday, September 30th, and that will be at 3 p.m., Eastern time is when that show will be airing, and it will actually be a very good show because it's about abuse, and both for spousal abuse, but mostly focused on child abuse. Joelle Castex, she's an LA-based author. She has a new book out called The Well-Armored Child, A Parent's Guide to Preventing Sexual Abuse. So she'll be on talking about that, especially because the film Spotlight, I'm not sure I remember the name of the movie, that talks about child abuse in the Catholic Church is now released. And so with that movie out, it seems a lot of authors and books that are on that subject are becoming a huge topic. And, of course, you know, we have Pope Francis right now visiting here in the U.S., so I'm sure that's just helping to add some more spotlight onto it. Not that we're trying to be controversial. We're actually talking about tips to save children.
Well, he talks about it. So, I mean,
well,
he talks about it.
And that's what I'm saying. We're not doing it because of political reasons. I'm just saying all these things are going on. So that's why we're doing the show, and that's why we're having Joelle come on, is for this exact reason. He has a book about it, and this is all in the spotlight right now. It just happens to all be falling in line.
So it will be a good show. So, all right, I am on Thursday with Brian Moreland. My show's tomorrow. It's 9 o'clock at Eastern and 8. I'm back to the evenings. And I have Thursday with Brian Moreland, who's been on before. He's a lot of fun to have on, and he's really a good writer. I've heard him on another show, and I asked to have him a couple years ago, and then I've had him a few times, and he's the only guest. And he's a horror writer, but besides being a horror writer, he absolutely knows so much about writing that it's very interesting to listen to him, you know. And that's why he'll be on at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8, and he'll be with he's got a lot of horror books now, and his new book will be out. So that should be a good show. Okay, and then that's it. And Willow, I think she may be having a show, and I don't know if it's this week or next week, but Willow will be back. So we're all coming.
Yes,
you know, everything's starting to gel as usual. It's in October, so there we go.
Well,
you
always, it's always
before we go
time.
What about your fit? You got to talk about the Heritage for 1 minute.
Oh yeah, okay. So
can't forget that, that's part of your life. That is
October
your life.
Becomes October becomes like the crazy time for everybody, because obviously a lot of writers' conferences start up and book festivals are going on. So October 19th through the 24th is the St. George Book Festival, and it's the Utah Humanities Heritage Writers Guild, Southern Utah Literacy Council, and the City of St. George, Washington County School District, and Washington County Library System are all partnered together to do the festival. And then we actually have Comics Plus joining us this year, too, in partnership, because they have a Comic Spook Day. Who knew? So all of us are coming together between October 19th through the 24th in Southern Utah, St. George, Utah, which is Washington County. And so it's a week-long festival. We're going to have authors coming from all over. We're going to have – there's actually going to be a Halloween fair on – the 23rd and 24th. There'll be authors selling books, signing books, speaking. We have Justin Osmond coming. We have Brad Wilcox coming. We have Craig Clyde coming. And we have Jonah Pody coming. And Joe likes me to always let everybody know that he is Uncle Stretch from the movie Casper. So anyways, it's going to be a fun group of people. And it's going to keep us very, very busy. And if anybody lives in or around the southern Utah, or actually Utah if you want to travel, area, or we have people coming in from Nevada, Arizona, California, Colorado as well, to be a part of the festival, authors and just people who are just readers. But you can go to stgeorgebookfestival.org and you can see our whole entire schedule. I'm going to be updating it again tonight, the website, with some more information. So it's going to be a fun time. It's literally the week right before Halloween.
Right. And Craig Clegg has been on our show several times.
Yes.
And he's a screenwriter, and so am I, and we have a couple screenplays together, and one of them is a very good possibility to be a movie. But we'll talk about that if that comes to be true.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
in Hollywood, one never knows, so we never talk about it.
Yeah. Well, here's something I did not know really quickly, too, about Craig. Actually, all four of the authors I mentioned, Brad Wilcox, Justin Osmond, obviously Craig Clyde, and Jenna Pody, they've all been on our shows. But Craig, by the way, which I just realized, I didn't know this when we were first talking, but he is the person, he wrote the script and directed the video that was submitted to the Olympic Committee for Utah to get the Winter Olympics back in, I think it was 2002.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well,
had no idea.
Wow. Well, he doesn't say all he does, but he does a lot.
No.
Yeah, he was my second client years ago, but he's not my client. I really don't do it anymore. You know, I do Marcus Bryant, but not as much as I did before. But yes,
yeah.
So I've known him for a lot of years. It's going to be good. All right, you're going to have a great time there. All right, so let's bring out Lynn.
Yes, yeah, so we have back visiting us to the Otter Show, Lynn Stewart, and Lynn had been with us with her debut novel when it first came out, A Very Good Life. And she is back because the second book is now released, April Snow. And it's a four-book series. And I love this series because it's from my old past life, the fashion world. So welcome to the show, Lynn. We're glad to have you back again.
Hi,
Lynn.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much, Virginia. Nice meeting you, Marcia, joining
Same
us
here.
Today.
And you have 195 reviews. Okay, I have to start with that. How did you get all of those reviews?
That's for April. That's for
right.
A Very Good Life. Yes, the first book.
Yes.
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 I know.
But that's
Isn't
a lot.
That wonderful. Well, I thought so too, considering, I have promotions quite a bit. Give a free book promotions through Kindle Direct Publishing Select, and I do feel that has helped get the book out. You know, you can have 40,000 downloads with one, or I've had more. I've had almost 70,000 downloads with one of the promotions. So
that's great.
Even a half a percent with the book, you know, you get a response. So I have been, thank you for
But, you know, it
that.
Doesn't always work for a lot of people. So, you know, you have to give yourself more credit than that just because it's free,
well,
but it has to be what people like.
Well, I was going to say, And A Very Good Life twice has ranked number one on Amazon's
list.
Tired. Because of that.
Very
yeah.
Hard.
That was the cover, I guess. They really liked the Dana. Well, you know what's so funny is that there's Dana in her turtleneck sweater all covered up. And we have all these other books we're racing ahead of where these guys have no shirts on. And I'm thinking, there's little Dana, you know, heading to number one.
Well, I like turtlenecks. I always wear turtlenecks. You know, and, you know, I mean, because that's not the only kind of book that's out there.
There
are nice, sweet stories. Yes. What's wrong with that?
Well, it's interesting, and that's what I'm hoping about Dana as we get her known a little bit more through Pinterest, and I'm working on Instagram. Her character keeps evolving, and I think she's really resonates with the reader because people start rooting for her. You know, I was a little concerned when I first presented the story, the first story of the series, to an entertainment attorney, and he thought, you know, she's a little bit of a victim. And I thought, well, she has to start someplace. You know, give her a chance.
Right.
And the reviews coming now for book two for April Snow, I have to say people are getting it, that she's not, just because she doesn't push her way aggressively, she is determined to make her mark. And she does it in a way, and she's still learning how to do it. You know, it's interesting how when you write, it's, the characters develop on the page. But she is making tough choices, good choices, and developing, a stronger backbone. So I think that that's something that women can relate to because...
See, I think one of the problems is, go ahead. I was just going to say, one of the problems now is, it takes time. It's like life. You can't just, it doesn't always happen right away, and that's why it's true to life. You don't snap your fingers and things happen. It takes time, and that's the same with characters because they're people.
Well, let's see,
and
circumstances. Yeah, Dana's one of those, to me, she's a boy, which kind of reminds me a little bit, Marcia, of, Not to the extreme as your Virginia Templeton, but she's definitely, but Dana, is definitely one of those strong women characters, and that's the thing. I mean, I love how you talked about, how she has to start somewhere, and it does seem like in the first book she comes off a little bit like, maybe you could look at her, I guess, as a victim, but it's because she's in a man's world. I mean, the fashion industry,
yeah.
And I think it's something we show our listeners. I mean, the series is based in the 70s when being a female in the fashion industry, which sounds so funny to say, was not a common place. I mean, fashion was dominated by men for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and the women, I will say this, the women who were in the corner offices and the bosses, there was no sisterly love. I mean, they fought long and hard to get where they were, and they were not putting a hand out, to lift somebody else up. I mean, they really weren't. They were holding on to their position, and you really had to fight your way to get even close to where they were. So,
it's still a fight. It's not as easy as people think, being a woman. We haven't gotten all the way there yet.
And a women's industry did not make it any easier. But I do think, as well, with someone like Dana, when you have been blessed with a strong family background and everything is, you've gotten the support and love, and then you go out in the world and you get married to this wonderful man and it's perfect and life is so sweet, and then all of a sudden it cracks and you are put in a situation the way you feel, where nothing is coming together. I mean, everything is falling apart. You really then are challenged to you find out who you really are when you are put in those circumstances and you have to make decisions. And I think that's what happened. I think that had she and Brett not divorced, and she went on, and she probably would have had a family, and she would have been the sweetest mother, and everything would have been great. But life said, well, you're not going to have it so easy, kiddo. So what are you going to do about it? And she was, figuring it out, and she started to figure it out a little bit more and made some difficult choices in April Snow. Again, she was challenged. And then she had to go to her core inner belief to make a decision when it came to Mark, as well as to what she wanted in a relationship at the end. So we don't know who we are till we're tested, I think. True of all of us.
That's probably.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, if something happens to us, we have to figure out how to do it.
I think that's why you've gotten so many great reviews for the first book and why you're starting to get so many for the second book, April Snow, is because the Dana character, even though you're writing about the 70s, fashion industry, which, you worked in, Lynn. I think that modern day women, meaning nowadays, can relate because, again, how many people are going through divorces at young ages, and these women are trying to get their careers going and are trying to deal with, divorce and getting back up and moving forward. Mm-hmm. And I think you've created a series of books that I think most women readers, which is what I think a lot of women are looking for readers, you know, they can identify. Plus, they're learning about the industry and the history of it while they're reading, too. Because, I mean, you put in a lot of your knowledge from being in that environment for so many years that people don't understand the background of. I mean, I think the closest we've ever seen until your book was, you know, the Devil Wears Prada series. Which still, you know, isn't really the which isn't the buyer's, you know, side of things. It's the magazine side, and honestly, it really makes the fashion industry look more like diva crazy than it really is.
Well, you know, I mean, it's actually because when you're saying the 70s, you know, and it was very different. I mean, and it does seem to be that people do like to be reading about, you know, since Mad Men, they like to be in the 60s and the 50s. You know, they like to learn about how it was. And it wasn't that easy being a woman. And that is why the success of the, you know, it's not like if you start a series right now and someone is, you know, right out there, because it's not always easy, and it certainly wasn't then, for sure.
No, it wasn't. And just developing, you know, the different departments, too. I mean, I wanted to discuss what the manufacturing of and the private label, because even today, private label is important to all these department stores, and it is a creative end, but it's so much easier today. Because of all the offshore vendors and manufacturing, but bringing the British the British shop to the Altman and introducing the history of the Brooks Brothers ladies department was fun for me, because that was fascinating as to how Brooks Brothers did develop the ladies department with their menswear manufacturers. And through my research, I wasn't even aware, quite frankly, of how many stores were also using menswear fabrics, you know, to have it that Katharine Hepburn tailored, really classic trousers.
Oh, yeah.
Not a pair
when
of
I watch all those old movies and when you see them, some of the clothes are just, it's really, really fun to watch those movies.
I know. Well, Marcia, that's why I keep hoping it's going to be a TV series, because I think it would be so, all the clothes and thought this would be so much fun.
Well, if you look at some of the TV series they're having, like Astronauts' Wives, I mean, they are doing period, that's like a period piece, you know, and, you know, it really is so interesting to learn so much. I think people like that part of learning things that happened in, you know, in the past, because they really don't know. And it's really interesting to watch how women have changed over the years. And they have.
That's right, and work, right, and close, you know, for work. I just read, in fact, it was interesting the other day that already Carly Fiorina, because of her business suits, there was an article about business suits all of a sudden becoming popular again. I mean, you know, she just campaigned a few months, and all of a sudden the designers have made note that there's already been a response to a more form, back to a more tailored look at the office. You know, it's interesting. It's like, you know, like Tipping Point, you know, if you read that book, Tipping Point, Malcolm Gladwell, just the slightest introduction of an idea or a theme can just send a trend.
Well, you know, if you see, I don't know if you watch any of the home shopping networks or whatever, like the home shopping networks now have like Elizabeth Taylor jewelry, okay, and Audrey Hepburn jewelry. Oh, yeah. And they're bringing all of that back, you know, and beautiful. Some of it, you know, and people will start talking about it on the, you know, because that's what people do on the air. And a lot of people are really interested in the jewelry from the past, you know. It's and that must be because they're selling them out like crazy. You know, they have Jackie Kennedy. All of these shows are starting to have that, along with new shows also like Jessica Simpson. And, you know, they're having all these designers are going on these shows now, which is a whole different train of thought for selling. You know, because they sell a ton. They sell a ton of them.
And that will be inspiration for many young new designers who are looking for ideas, and that will certainly just trigger a response.
I think that's why, even on
my website, I mean, I am, when I write, and that's why sometimes I'm a bit too wordy, and I finally realize why I am wordy. And that's because I think cinematically. I can't just answer a question because I see the whole picture and I see
yep.
somebody coming in, sitting down, the expression. And it's just so hard. And so that's why on my website I try to capture the feeling of the show, of Dana's world, of what her living room looks like. And it was so much fun to create her world when she leaves, you know, after she leaves Brett and she's starting on her own. You know, here's Manhattan filled with all these buildings, all these 1960s buildings, and I, you know, where so many single people live. And I thought, no, Dana is going to live in Sniffen Court, which is where I walked past Sniffen Court. I can't even count the times because I lived in Murray Hill so many years. But it's so charming. And even if anyone reads the book, they should take it, make some notes when they visit New York and visit Sniffen Court. It's just the most charming little spot between Lexington and Third on the south side of the street. And they were carriage houses. And every detail that I mentioned about Dana's coach house, indeed, that's how they are. They have little outdoor spaces in the back and maybe a little terrace off the top floor with 20-foot ceilings with leaded glass windows. I mean, again, would that be a fabulous set? Every week to turn in to see Dana living at Sniffen Court. I mean, it just brings another world. It's sort of a Nancy Meyers set, you know.
I just saw that movie that Nancy Meyers
did.
Just,
it was very good.
Nancy
Meyers. Oh my goodness!
She did with Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
Did you see it?
Yes.
Well, I saw it. People don't know what it's about. It's excellent because Robert De Niro comes into her business, which is Anne Hathaway. She started an online business, and he comes as a retired person, and he wants something to do. And, you know, and you're watching how she gets used to it because it's a whole different time that he was, you know, involved in things. But it's a really, really, for all age groups, it's really good.
Well, see, when I first read about The Intern that Nancy Meyers was writing. And in fact, when I read about it so long ago, that Tina Fey was supposed to be Anne Hathaway. That was also noted in something I read last night because it took a while for Nancy to get this, get find a studio or whatever. But I was reading and I thought, gee, this reminds me back to Dana because in the series, you know, you meet Uncle John and he owns the evening wear manufacturing company that was started by his father, right? And his son, Johnny, reluctantly works in it because his sister wants to be a cardiologist. So Johnny has to run the family business eventually. But what's going to happen, and I don't think I'm giving anything away, is that, you know, I gave a little hint of that because in April Snow, the Sarones want Dana to be their fashion director in this couture house, and she is not ready to just give up and let her career be handed to her in a silver platter. She wants to make it on her own, and so that was part of the story too. But indeed, this series is multi-generational. I have to say, coming ahead will be an affair, a wonderful relationship between Uncle John and a wonderful English woman, and it's just all the characters are in each other's lives, but they keep growing and changing. And I think it's wonderful when a story today does have multi-generational characters because
they should, yes. And a lot of the good movies are actually starting to do that now because they're trying to get, even in the shows, you know, on TV, they're trying to get, you know, the younger generation mixed in, which is good. So they get an audience of everybody. Not just limiting
it
to just one or two. When you're saying you're marketing, that's why Virginia and I are always looking for marketing places and we're trying everything out. What are some of the marketing techniques that you use to get all this? Because it just doesn't happen.
Well, I was going to bring that up too. Before you answer that, Lynn, I was going to say to add on to that too. One of the things I noticed that you talked about when in marketing your book is you liken Dana to Coco Chanel, which is an iconic name for anybody who's a fashionista. I mean, everybody knows who Chanel is. So, yeah, I mean, I love to hear what you're doing, because, I mean, that was one of the things I saw you doing was likening a lot of what's happening in April Snow to Dana to Coco Chanel's life and some of the things that she went through in her career.
I know, and that just, it was interesting how that just came to me, because Dana doesn't want anything handed to her, but yet she has the kind of personality where people like to help her. People like her, and she's so appreciative. But as, again, a couple of times we see in April Snow that she takes a step back and she doesn't cross the line where she gives in 100% to the handout. You know, she doesn't do it with Uncle John, and she ultimately doesn't do it completely with Mark. And all of a sudden I realized, because I have my library does have all these biographies of all these wonderful women. I mean, there's Grace Mirabella to Anna, of course, Vreeland has so many biographies, and Chanel. And I realized that that, too, was Chanel. I mean, she had wonderful opportunities, but she really wanted to make it on her own. And she, that's all she wanted, was to give me the opportunity, and she took it from there.
See, that's the thing, getting the opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's not that women can't do it. They don't always get the opportunity to do it. That's the problem.
But you know what I think, Marcia, too, though, because I've discussed this with friends, you have to be prepared when the opportunity presents itself.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I find with myself, because I really, I'm ready when the opportunity is there. If it's somebody who I meet, who wants to, you know, with writing the book, when you're totally consumed in a project, I believe in, I'm back to Malcolm Gladwell, who I adore, because I find he makes such common sense. It's that old 10,000-hour rule. I mean, he didn't make it up, but he was quoted it, and he mentions it in his book, The Outliers. And when you work at something, you can be less talented, but if you put in the time, you will succeed faster than someone who you would think would just be, you know, primed for a successful career, as a pianist or any musical instrument or any sport. It's the person who puts in the most time who ultimately will succeed. So you have to be ready for the opportunity. It was the same thing with Chanel. She was a famous seamstress first, and she started, of course, in the orphanage where she was left alone, and she was taught how to sew. And she sewed for hours and hours. And then when one of her boyfriends gave her some money or opened up a shop, she started making hats. And then she opened up her own little shop. And I think she started making hats with some of his wealthy friends, and then she opened a shop. But in other words, she had put in the time. You know what I'm saying? It's not that she just met these wealthy guys and was given opportunities. She had invested in her career before she was given the opportunity. And that's, I think, that's very important. Otherwise, you don't know, you know, what to do. Are you familiar with that book, The Outliers? Because it's
no,
fascinating.
I'm not. Virginia, are
yeah,
you?
I mean, it,
yeah, I am.
What's that, it called?
Yeah, I mean, it talks about, you know, all these successful people who, you know, Bill Gates. I mean, he had spent hours and hours of programming before he even went to Harvard. That's, you know, before he even thought about Microsoft. He did that in high school. So you have to find, I think it is, we all have to find our passion and just focus on it and then be ready when a break comes your way. But the marketing is, I love it because it's visual, and I spend a lot of time. I'll spend hours looking for the right photograph, and, you know, as you'll see in all the Pinterest boards that I have, because I really want to convey this world for Dana. And I see this as the series, not so much more as a composite. It's not just about Dana. But it's about all the characters that revolve around it. It's really about her whole world. It's her world. She's the center, but all the characters also play an important role as well.
No, I think it's good to use your character that way, because I did that with, you know, I've done this before, and the only problem is, you know, it's like Virginia and I always say we want to do this, that, and that, and we don't have time to keep doing all this. That's the problem. It's like, when can you possibly fit all of this in, you know? And Pinterest, though, I do like, and I do it now sporadically. I did do it a lot at the beginning, but then, you know, it does take time, because... And if you're trying to write something, but I do think it's very good for people to see what you're seeing. And if you have pages, you know, for your books and things, you know, I do think that's a really big selling feature for books. If you make, you know, the standalone page where you're really showing the people about the characters. And, you know, I have places where characters live, you know, because in your world or in any of our worlds that Virginia writes in or I write in, it's we see what we see. We see our world, and it's getting other people to see it.
That is it. I mean, it is. And again, it's just like the snipping cord or the little scenes of New York. Of course, we have the Altman, which was such a famous department store, but it's been closed for so many years. I had actually a couple of men respond to the B. Altman department store, and one attorney said that when he was a little boy and his mother would take him to B. Altman, he would daydream that she was going to buy it, like, quote, a house, and he would wake up and live there. He was like, it's a man's, like, the most beautiful store, and I go, wow, we had grand ideas, you know. I mean, but it did touch and resonate with so many people. But if you don't know, you know, it's just like Selfridges, and if you haven't, you know, if you're not that visited the store, you know, you appreciate the series because you see how magnificent it was.
You mean Mr. Selfridge? You're talking about Mr.
Yes.
You know, I love that series. I thought it was, you know, and I really don't watch that kind of series. I have to say, I really have not been watching some of the series, but that one, I thought was unbelievable. I thought it was so good, you know, and it's so much that has happened then happens now. You know, even though it's so far away from the time of, you know, when this happened, these things still happen. It's still not that easy for, well, I still think it's pretty tough for some women to get out there. And it's hard for men in a lot of things. It's very hard these days to push yourself in to a career. There's so many people
mm-hmm.
behind you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're all standing behind you. They're waiting for people to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Well, Lynn, I also say, too, because you cover so many of the fashion legends, and you do get into, in your series, at least in the first two books, I mean, you are covering a lot of, like, the iconic businesswoman of the time. And, I mean, you even, like, work in some real events. Do you feel that it's those kinds of things that really help the reader identify, even for those who haven't, you know, and I'm talking, like, the younger readers, you know, like the 20 and the 30-something-year-olds who pick up your novel and read it, really gravitate to it? Because, you know, like Marcia said, I mean, everything you talk about, I mean, it's timeless. I mean, we all go through these same things generation after generation after generation, but then you've got all that historical information in there. I mean, what have you heard from readers that make you feel like they're really getting what you're sharing in your novels?
Well, Virginia, I'll be honest, I actually cut back on April Snow. I'll tell you, many people appreciated all the details in A Very Good Life. However, I found that, because I always look at the negative reviews, you know, really think, okay, but what, and sometimes I agree. And I found that I didn't get enough positive return. In other words, if people didn't like the story, they didn't give me a pass because I had such wonderful detail. You know, I didn't get any benefit from the detail. People, they liked the story and the detail, but they didn't like anything. You see, you know what I'm saying? So I found that, for example, in London, when the book opens, I cut so much from that first chapter. I had gone overboard, like with the church, which is so beautiful in Mayfair in London, and the historic Lansdowne Club. And then back in New York as well, I found I just had to step back. I do feel that it's enough. I do feel people appreciate it in the context of the whole story, but it's not enough to carry the story. Maybe that's the best way to state it. You know what I'm saying? It's the story first and keep...
Yeah, but if that's the way you write, though, you know, that's something that, you know, if people liked your first book the way it was, you know, and you look at negative reviews, you got to just forget that, you know, because there's always people, you know, and I read a lot of your reviews, and, you know, a lot of people loved your book. And, you know, you can't read the negatives and choose for negative people because,
right.
you know, if they were looking for an erotic book, then they shouldn't read your book because it's not erotic, okay? But, you know,
right.
I mean,
right.
no, that's really what it is. I mean, and,
well,
you know,
and,
I look at
yeah.
some of the comments, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, this is, you're writing a story. A good story.
Well, and the reason why
you didn't say it was erotic.
Well, and the reason why I asked that question, Lynn, is because, like, you know, with the Twilight Saga and even with the Game of Thrones series, I mean, both of those authors, you know, Stephanie Meyer and oh my gosh, and I can't think of the Game of Thrones author. It just totally slipped my mind. Anyhow, I know it's something Martin, J.R.R. Martin or something like that. Anyways, I know it's Martin's last name. Both of those guys get into a lot of detail in their series. That's why I was kind of wondering, you know, what readers, you know, what feedback you've been getting now that your book's, you know, especially it's book two's out, because it seems like there's a huge audience out there that's really liking real detailed, you know, information in the books. I mean, I kid you not, I don't know if you've read Game of Thrones, but Martin gets all the way down into like what color the tunics are that they're wearing, the fabric it's made out of.
Yeah.
I mean, the buttons. It's insane.
If that's the kind of writer you are, then you, it's good for, you know, I am not very, that's why I went into screenwriting. I'm not as descriptive as other writers. I just move on a little because that's when I'm reading a book, I don't love all the description, but there's tons of readers that really like to be taken into the world of whatever you write.
And I loved your first book because of that. But then again, you know, I come from the fashionista background. So, of course, why wouldn't I love that? That's why I was just kind of wondering.
Yeah, but fashion is so interesting for people.
Oh,
I mean, it's always interesting. Yes. You know,
yeah,
and so
my suggestion
to you would be not to change really all your style of writing because
you're
going to be unhappy with what you come out with.
Yeah, no, I do really love the detail, and I like the set, and I'll tell
you.
And you
should do that, because you can tell you like it, you know what I mean? And,
yeah,
you know,
I've kind of,
yeah.
I think, though, I found a better balance here. I just, there's just enough.
Right, maybe not as much, right.
Not as much, and even my editor, you know, because he knows how married I am to so many of the details, but when I told him that, again, I could reread, you know, such and such chapter, want to know about the church, and he said, I'm glad. He says, I think that's enough, you know, but
yeah.
But just because he knows when to really say no. But I do get carried away, and because, again, I stress, I think of this on the screen, and I can't help it, and when I do...
But the screen,
the
but let me tell you something, on the screen, if you're writing a screenplay, you have to edit everything out. They show it,
well, the word,
but you can't write it in a screenplay. In a screenplay, that's actually what was a good thing for me, though, to be visually with my screenplays, but you got to cut. When you're doing a screenplay, you only have a certain amount of time, and you can't be descriptive in a screenplay. That's why I went to do a screenplay.
That's why I love Nancy Myers, I mean, so much, and I can understand how she just spent so much time editing, and the retakes, and I just know. I mean, if of course, I wouldn't have the clout, and they probably wouldn't want me in the room. But I see, even when I wrote the end of the ending of April of A Very Good Life, and I knew Dana was going to be living in this coach house for the next few books. Every detail. I mean, I strategically had three fireplaces, the fireplace in the kitchen, and I did my homework to be sure that, you know, there were these outdoor spaces and whatever, because I just know that it's nice to envision this space.
Do you draw out the rooms?
I mean, not professionally,
but I mean draw out what you want the house to look like inside? Or?
Yes, in fact, that right. And it's on the Pinterest board. I mean, the living room and all that. But but actually, I get so into it that one of the scenes with Dana and Mark when they go upstairs, and I actually interrupted their walk upstairs to the bedroom with a telephone call. And my editor sent back the chapter, and he said, rewrite. And I said, what? He never said that. So it turned out that he said, no, no, you have to keep them going upstairs. Your audience, you know, your readers have waited 15 chapters for this or something. And I said, but he has to light the fire. And he said, Linda, nobody, no one knows there's a fireplace there except you. You know what I mean? Because I just, you know, I know it's there because I placed it there for the, and I laughed and I said, okay.
Well, let me just say something, though. I mean, having written a lot and seen a lot, you certainly have a lot of good reviews, and you got to number one, and you have all of this, so apparently you're doing something right, regardless of what they tell you. Sorry to say. Because people don't always have such good reviews, and that many of them. And certainly
really?
When you're the publisher,
thank you, Marcia. It's true, though.
Virginia and I both know that. It is not easy to get reviews. And so I would say that whatever you did, something was pretty good because you just can't snap your fingers and get those reviews.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen unless they like it.
Well, I have to say, I had a publicist for 3 months when I first launched the debut novel, but I didn't hire this company again for April Snow because they're online publicists and they're very good. They just ask you a series of questions and then they get you posted on various blogs, and that was very helpful, I suppose. And then I have to say the marketing through Amazon has helped me really a lot. So, you know, the giveaways and having a cover that resonates, and, you know, that helps.
That's a hard part. That's hard, a cover to recover, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I have changed several of my covers. You know, it is hard, but, you know, it's really good if you like the cover you have, because when you don't and you change mm-hmm. like I have done, it costs you reviews. Because it, you know, and actually Amazon has been trying to help because I have changed several covers into taking things off because you can't take things off of Amazon sometimes when they're there. They won't
mm-hmm.
because if
mm-hmm.
there's any books that people bought, it's resale.
Mm-hmm.
They have a resale, so you can't. So that's why you have to be careful. I am trying to limit myself to my changes because it's cost
mm-hmm.
me a lot. It has, you know, and those are the mistakes that I've made. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Well, I'm not going to spend the time on
don't
it.
Don't do it
sort of
because
changing,
you'll lose a lot of things.
Changing the title.
Just leave it.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave it. I've done that too, and I think I've made some mistakes that way. So I'm hoping when my next book comes out, I can be happy with it. Which is not because I am a screenwriter, and that's the problem. When I do screenplays, it's easy. You just change the title. Okay, it's no big deal. It's
no,
different with a book. You know.
Yeah, we're selling, right. We're marketing, we're everything. I mean, it's a wonderful opportunity. Self-publishing is just wonderful. I could never, obviously, nobody would have, I couldn't find an agent. I mean,
that doesn't mean anything because they don't want to take new people. And you know,
mm-hmm.
the fact that you got this far with it, I would be,
mm-hmm.
I would think you did a good job yourself, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree
mm-hmm.
to this? I mean, I think that.
Yeah,
I had to learn. It was in May of 2013 was when I got the word. I thought, you know, I was ready to pitch a TV show, and someone I really respected. I wanted to meet with this attorney before I met with this person in L.A. who I was being personally introduced to. But, you know, I wanted to be sure, and because this was a whole new industry.
Yeah.
And I was given advice by someone I respected, and I took it, and I decided, okay, I'm going to get into self-publishing because I had all the storylines written. So, and it's been better. It's made the
you know
story
what you
better.
Know though. This is the thing. Mm-hmm. You got your book published. See, this is the whole thing. People, all the people that have liked your book, would be missing something because the major publishing companies didn't take a book, and if they do take a book, it takes them 3 years to get it out. So,
mm-hmm.
but. I think that's Virginia and I will be having talks. That's one of our, you know, plans this year for everybody is to really come out and say really what is happening, because people keep saying, oh, you can't do this because you're self-published or whatever. And that you seem to have done it. So I guess that it can work.
I did it. I studied. I mean, it's first of all, there's all the information that's free online. The bloggers are so generous with what they know, and they are sharing this information so generously.
Writers are generous to each other. I do think so. And that's a good thing. But I think that some of the information out there isn't always right, which is why Virginia and I will be doing this, because some of it isn't fair to say you can't really say what's going to be a success or not. People want a good story, and they like a good story. And sometimes the publishers want a name that's already been out there. But you can see by the books that have come out a lot from the mainstream, there's maybe, 25, 30. I mean, there's so many. Look how many writers there are that there are not getting published by the major publishers. That doesn't mean their work is not good, because their work is good.
Well, and look at how many authors are waiting for their contracts to expire and then are putting all of their books, just taking control and putting all of their books on Amazon. I mean,
that's why the publishers are not kind to indie publishers, because they're losing people.
They are, from what I'm reading. I mean, I was wrong to say just Amazon, because these authors have reputations, so they do go to
all the retail, and that's just how it is. We don't know. Nobody knows who's writing what, because you could find that there's an author, and, unless you really talk to the person or see the person, you don't know who they are. We go news all the time. It could be a man, it could be a woman with a man's, it doesn't matter anymore. So I think that, your success is something to say that, okay, this is an indie publisher book. You've gone out and had a publicist, and you've gotten a lot of reviews. I find that hard to do. Virginia and I, but we always talk about these things, because it is hard to get reviews. I think it is. It's not an easy thing. And that's why I hardly ever ask for it. I think it's, and I think the people out there, did you get a Kirkus review, or did you do the Kirkus review?
No, and I wanted to do that for April Snow, and I haven't. I just haven't gotten around to it, and I should. I really should.
Do you think that will help you?
I don't know. I mean, help in terms of, credibility, maybe.
Well, you got to be number one without it. I don't know. We're going to be discussing that, Virginia.
The importance of the Kirkus review. We're so split on it, because there's libraries out there that won't take a book unless they have a Kirkus review. My thing with Kirkus, and we've even had people on from Kirkus, and we liked people we've talked to over there. The thing is it used to be, and I think even when your first book came out, the Kirkus review, you could send it in, and it was a possibility they may or may not review it, but you didn't have to pay, or you could pay a rush fee for them to review it, and then, of course, you could pay for a higher package, which included marketing and stuff, but now it's a complete pay-for-review
service.
It's almost
$500. It's almost
And I'm just...
I don't know, but
this really bothers me.
It does bother me, only because it bothers me that libraries are saying you need that, and then there have been several reviewers that have been on Amazon that have taken off who do not charge any money. And Amazon said they did, and they had to take them off. But then Kirkus, it's charging. So I don't know. It's kind of hit or miss here. I don't know. We're rethinking a lot of these things.
Publishers Weekly, too. I think I have to say, because surprisingly, my second book, it took me longer, and all the synopses are written for all the series. I mean, it's all really developed. The character arcs, the storylines are developed, arcs are done. But some reason, it took longer for me, and it was more stressful at the end. And I just didn't try to get a Publishers Weekly review. And again, I'm trying to get the reaction from the public. I'm less focused on, again, getting, of course, the book into libraries or whatever. I just want to see how the public
Have you gotten them into libraries?
Have
you gotten them into libraries?
No. No, I haven't.
And what do they say to you? Do they say anything?
No, I tried to get into a few retailers, some private little bookstores, mm-hmm. And they really weren't interested.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I gave it a, I tried for a month. I did everything right. I had special stationery. I went in person. I went into little coffee shops in the morning, and I introduced myself to some of the ladies, and I said, please, men, if you like the book, ask, you know, your little bookstore next door. Nothing worked. And I said, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't have time for it. I've tried. I'm not, you know, I'm an indie author. They don't want my
book.
Well,
we're gonna try to figure out some things on this show, because we're going to try to be working on this, because this is really very upsetting to me, because I think this has gotten out of hand where, you know, that people that really have some very good books are not in places that they should be. And that's really kind of sad.
Well, I thought, in fact, that the fact that A Very Good Life had been number one on Amazon's list of top 100 free books was proof that the cover did have an appeal. So at least people would pick it up and then look at the description. That didn't even work. That was after it became number one, I thought, well, this will really help the bookstores, because obviously I had an amazing, and I think it's about 70,000 downloads the first time. I mean, this was huge, and it was number one all Memorial Day weekend that year.
But it's very hard now. It's a lot different. It's a lot more difficult now than it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago. It's very different now. It's very hard. No, it's not the same.
I guess in 2013. I mean, no, 2014, May of 2014, because then that's... Yeah,
it's getting harder and harder for people. It's getting harder and harder. You know, it really is. So it's not you, really. It's what's happening in the market. So that's what we'll be, stay tuned for our shows, because we're going to figure out some things, because we're trying new things. We're seeing what's happening, and... it's not, you know, I've been doing this for like 20 years, and it has changed so much, and there's so many people that have gotten their books out that never would have got them out before because the publishers wouldn't take them. So this way, the public, the reader doesn't really care. The reader wants a good story. They don't care who published it, as long as it's out there and it's edited good, and they're happy when they read it. That's really what counts. Because you're writing for the reader.
The publicist I did work with in New York for 3 months when I launched the first book did bring the book and the synopsis to a couple of agents. And one top agent, I thought, oh, no, I said, I'm not ready for him. But she knew him for years, and I was flattered that she thought enough. I mean, that to me was enough that she would even introduce him to the book. But I thought it was rather interesting. He said, you know, I like happy endings. And he didn't like the ending. I said, but it's a series. Her life goes on. You'll see things get better.
I know. See, that's an issue for some people. That's wrong, right. You know, everything has to be the happy ending, but it isn't always. But if they're real-life stories about real-life families, sometimes it isn't exactly. I changed my ending on one of my books. Love Changes. Because I thought I had, because I when I originally wrote it, it was for the screen. And for the screen, it was okay. But then it was a book, I decided I needed to make a better ending. And I did, and I changed it. And my sales did go up because I changed the ending. So I guess this is the world, you know, because, you know, and it's just a happier ending. I thought it was more satisfying. I thought it was satisfying the first time because I felt like my character had learned a lot, and that's what happened. But then when I changed it, it's different now. And so they're really liking it. So you never know. You just, you know, that's what I say, like Virginia knows, I have changed a lot of things. But, you know, you can't be afraid of change, but you can't do too much of it because then you can't move forward a lot. So I'm trying to move forward now and not do changes. You know, I'm doing audiobooks. Have you done audiobooks?
No, I haven't.
I bet your books would be good in an audiobook. Yeah, people would like that.
Oh, my gosh, they would be.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. And well, I think in fact Amazon has, it's an easy program. You can, I mean, you just share the
Yeah, go to ACX. ACX. I have Gabrielle Byrne did mine, and she's from. I actually wanted for the kids' books. The four of them are done now. I wanted someone with an English accent, and they really sound great. You know, I have to market them more, but
nice.
I'm so happy with it. Mm-hmm. It really is a really good program that they have. It's called ACX, and it's Amazon.
ACX. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's good. So don't be afraid of that, but it is a little more difficult getting a mainstream book than it is for children's, because it's shorter. Children's are short, and they, you know, it takes a lot of time. You know, but I think, you know, so I mean, I think you're doing fine. I think you just continue on what you're doing, and I think you're on the right track. Don't keep worrying about it, what everybody tells you, because not everybody exactly knows the right thing. You know,
well,
you know,
I mean, as you said, the story arcs, I mean, there's so much that I just can't change, because, I mean, I certainly would be flexible, you know, if I was
Well, just write it for the readers. Write it for the readers, and then you'll be very successful. That's my advice to you on that, because, you know, that is who is, they're the ones buying your book.
Well, I enjoyed meeting Virginia so much because of when we spoke last time, I was so nervous. It was my first interview. And then I meet Virginia, who has a wonderful background in the industry. And it was just like we were talking about old times. It was wonderful to share.
Well,
that's
that's why I'm such a fan of your book, you know, of your first book. And I'm going to obviously pick up April Snow and read it, but I love the fact that you had all the detail in the way that you did it because
yeah,
of that.
I think it's right. I think you shouldn't change what you did. I really wouldn't change because, you know, I am an agent. I'm a WG agent, and let me tell you something. I couldn't get an agent. I had a manager. It's very tough to get an agent. They want people that have already been successful, so go figure that. So forget that. So, you know, and I had a lot of clients, but, you know, and the main thing is they weren't as persistent as me. And if they would have stayed in, they probably would have books out now like I do. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't take the rejection. You have to.
Well, yeah.
Part of the game.
Yeah, that's right. And it takes time. And I, quite frankly, didn't have the time because I was on a mission, and I still am.
Okay, you got the mission. Is a good thing.
And so much has been cut, though, from, quite frankly, from the book, from my books, because I wanted to develop the Diana Vreeland, have her as just someone Dana works with at the Costume Institute. But I wanted to introduce the history of the Costume Institute at the Met and the history of, you know, how these shows are developed. And of course, that's just something you just can't put all of that into a novel. You know, you just get off. And so that's where my editor kept cutting from my original script. Diana Vreeland has an amazing following. I'm amazed at how many young people really just love her and follow her.
You have a great website, though, too, because, you know, you share a lot of information on the website that you don't get out of your books for people, you know, as...
And that's a good thing.
So
you're very dedicated. You seem very dedicated to what you're doing, so I would continue on what you're doing, so you enjoy it. Don't start not liking it.
Isn't that the best part, though, Marcia? That's right. Yes. Find your passion, and it's not work at all, because you can it is such a gift to be passionate, whether it's your tennis game or your writing or your vision for something. You just... We all need that. It's just at any age. I mean, it's a version, you know.
We're happy to have you anytime you want to come on. And, you know, if I have, we may be having some discussions on different ways to do things. So, you know, we'll think of having you on because, you know, you've had success, and that's a good thing. We like to
and to talk about how I started. And if I had time, and people have asked me at my woman's club, you know, to maybe have a luncheon. But, you know, I don't have time to prepare it, but just to talk, because how does one start? Everyone has a story someplace that they want to share, and, you know, don't know how to get it started. And so that's a whole discussion, too. That would be a wonderful show, just different people finally get their story on the page, you know, and what type of organization and the best way to go about that.
Oh, that's a good idea. We should think of that. That's a good idea mm-hmm. because organization, it is hard to
yes.
organize
mm-hmm.
to how you're going to do
how,
it.
And how you get ideas. I mean, I love
yeah.
to share that as well.
Okay.
You know, going into
good.
The archives and whatever. So, yeah that
archives
be,
of our brain. In our brain, we have a lot
mm-hmm.
going on there.
You know, it's just, wherever. If you live in, you know, whether it's L.A., you go, like, I use the New York Times archive and the New Yorker archive quite a bit of that period, and just something would trigger an idea or a case or a lawsuit or something, you know, that
well right
say,
that's
okay,
how that's how that that's actually how people get ideas, right? It doesn't just like it just doesn't come on the page without, you know, it takes
no,
time
you,
and that's
mm-hmm.
the thing, it just doesn't fall, you know what, it does take time to write a novel, that's just, you know, we know that, and that's what
mm-hmm.
you have to just do, write what you like and keep going. And I'll remind
mm-hmm.
myself
mm-hmm.
that every day, but that doesn't always work for me.
Right. Start at 3:30, 4:30 in the morning right before you get interrupted. That's the other thing. And that's
yeah,
it. But no, well, I'm so happy that you really like the story and you like Dana and your, you know, enthusiasm. And I appreciate your comments about the reviews. I have nothing to base it on, so I...
No, well, that's it. You seem to be in a very good direction, so I wouldn't exactly change,
oh, yeah.
you know, a direction
mm-hmm.
that's good. You know what I mean?
Well,
mm-hmm.
I think that... And definitely, you know, how book one done, you know, a very good life with, you know, with this twice getting, you know, number one ranking on Amazon and all the reviews it's received. I can't imagine April Snow not... following suit in the other books,
right?
You know,
right.
I mean, to me, that says a lot about
yeah.
you know
it
what you're doing.
It says a lot
doing.
To both of us, right? Because we know
good.
This, and this is true. It is not so easy. All right, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank
you.
You
want to give your
nice
website?
You,
so we should do your website.
You.
We should do your website.
Yeah.
You want to tell everybody your website?
Okay. Yes, it's Lynn Lynn Stewart with a D Stewart.com.
Okay. There we
and,
go.
And
it's a
okay.
good website.
It,
all right.
It's a great website. You can find out
right.
about some other
go
iconic
on.
People on there and see some of the
yeah.
world of Dana on there and lots and
yeah.
lots of information. It was great having you on the show again, Lynn.
Oh,
thanks so much for coming
thank
on.
Thank you so
and
much for coming on.
Too. Good
thank
luck
you.
To you as well. Talk to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye. Bye.
See, that's a word
right,
with passion. See, that's a good thing.
Oh, I know. Well,
we need to take a lesson.
She is. Lynn's great. Well, and
yeah.
all that dedication that Lynn has, I mean, it comes
yeah.
from the background that she has. I mean, she worked in New York City in the fashion industry during the late, you know, 60s
right.
and throughout the
and,
70s
and
early
she's
80s.
She's very passionate
and it,
about it and likes it. She
yes,
put a character in the right place. That's it.
And that speaks right to writing what you already know, but also
right.
testing yourself, because, I mean, there's things that she has her character doing that she didn't do, that she picked up, you know, and that's why I loved when we talked about the marketing thing and how she has likened Dana a lot to Coco Chanel's life, because she's read about Coco Chanel, she's worked in the industry when Chanel took off,
yep.
you know, and has taken that information and has
expanded
beyond
her own.
I
think
that
somebody that goes to their convictions should just keep writing, and I mean,
yeah.
honestly, you know, because we will be talking about that in other shows, so I think these are things we have to address of people really going to what they really want to do instead of listening to everybody else that doesn't actually know what they're doing half the time.
Right.
Know, everybody's
well,
got
I mean,
a comment.
Exactly. Well, I mean, like Lynn said, you know, for the first book, she worked with a publisher. I mean, not publisher, sorry, with a publicist. And then
yeah.
with book two, she, because of what she learned from that publicist, I mean, she hasn't used that publicist for book two, but she's been doing fully fine, you know, out there with what she's done and just with, you know, her publisher. And so, I mean, you know.
But she's still not in the library, so we're going to have to figure out a way to do
yeah.
this library thing.
I agree because
this,
I think it's
yeah.
I think it's sad that the indie authors like Lynn and others aren't
yeah,
in libraries.
I do too.
They
so I think there might
books.
You know we have to figure out something. So I'll be
yeah.
working on that. I'm working on this. I really am. It bothers me a lot.
Yeah,
because
it
was ridiculous.
It
you know,
too.
People like a book, then let's do it. You know, put it in the library.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So tomorrow, I have that Shifters. And it's a seductive,
yep.
sexy show. So it should be very interesting. Venus authors always are. So that's a good show. All right. And you have one Wednesday, and we have one I have Thursday, Brian. So
yep.
we're all set
Wednesday,
for the week.
Yep. Wednesday's one definitely for parents, and it's going to be the whole preventing sexual child
yes.
abuse. So
that's
it's going to be a very
big thing. Now.
It's going to
yeah.
be a very big topic. It's definitely not going to be for the faint of heart type show.
but it's a big topic.
It's
though.
A good show. It's
sad. It's unfortunately, but you know it
yeah.
is what it is. But that's good that you're having you know a guest like that. Because that's what
yeah,
we do. We do things like that also. It's not only, you know, it's
yeah.
things that are very informative and people need to know.
Yeah. We do author interviews all the way down to informative shows because, you know, that's
yes.
that's
we're going
to
have a breast cancer show.
Debate.
I have to talk to Carol and pick a date for it because we'll be doing our annual. I think it's the sixth one already.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know. We've
done
quite a few
before.
Of those, haven't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. 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 I know. We've been doing this for a while. I think we've been doing this for a while.
Yes, we have been. Yeah,
right.
And we'll
okay,
have
it was great doing
more.
The show with you, too.
Oh, yeah, it's been great. And I just want to let everybody know one more time that we will have more author interviews coming up because of the St. George
yep.
Book Festival in October, which is from October 19th through the 24th. And then, of course, you can always learn more about the World of Ink Network at worldofinknetwork.com. You can follow us at our blog, which is at blogspot. worldofinknetwork.blogspot.com. And then we're, of course, on Facebook and Twitter under World of Ink Network. And we thank you all for listening to our show, and we hope you tune in tomorrow and Wednesday and for our future
and
upcoming
Thursday.
Shows as well.
Okay.
And Thursday,
right.
yes,
good.
And Thursday.
Okay. Good night.
Bye.
It's not even night. It's not night, actually.
Follow me to the World of Ink.